This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Got Kevin Gray filling in for Corey and Bassick today. Whoo, doing some work. We're asking the question, what are you up to this holiday weekend, and are there sports that you care about that are back yet? 877-881-1053. Now, one of the reasons I ask this question is because one of my low-key favorite events of the entire year takes place on Saturday. It is the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Championship.
Wait, we're still doing that?
Oh, it's still happening.
And I bet your boy Joey Chestnut's still doing it, too.
Wait, how are they doing this, like, via Zoom?
So
they just got to cook up their own hot dogs?
What's going to happen is it's going to be in an indoor arena for the first time, and there's going to be no fans, which I'm a little sad by because the atmosphere for that was always great. But what you really need to watch this for is you might think it's gross or stupid or whatever. You need to watch this because never, oh, that's right, never will you hear a level of hyperbole that you will during this. Because the guy who owns Major League Eating and this whole thing, it's like George O'Shea, or maybe that's his dad, whatever. Richard Shea, there we go. He does the commentary, and he presents the hot dog eating contest like it's the same as any sport. So like when Joey Chestnut had won 7 in a row, they go, this is the most impressive streak in sports. It's more impressive than DiMaggio's 56 game hitting streak. It's more impressive than Cal Ripken's Iron Man streak. And he's
Jimmy Johnson winning 7 NASCAR championships in a row.
He does not present it as if he's kidding either or doing it with any sense of irony. He's 100% factual that the real athletes of the world and the real accomplishments are done in Major League Eating and in the hot dog eating contest. If nothing else, listen for his commentary. It is truly spectacular, especially if you enjoy hyperbole.
By the way, is Joey Chestnut still in the league?
Oh, he is.
And he's still up at the top of the pack, too.
He is going for his 13th mustard yellow belt. So I start with this. Do you still watch this? Because I 100% do. Also, fun fact about my life is one year, my DirecTV satellite dish was stolen in the middle of the hot dog eating contest. I had it on a pole outside my apartment where I lived. And I knew it was taken during the hot dog eating contest because it cuts off like 20 minutes in, because that's where everything got disconnected. And then I had to dust up with the DirecTV people because I had paid $75 for them to put it in concrete. And I was like, but you didn't, so I need my money back. And they were like, no, we did. And I said, no, you didn't, because somebody ripped it out of the ground. And unless the Incredible Hulk rolled up to my apartment complex, then that is not what happened. So, yeah. They ripped my DirecTV dish out of the ground, and then we got in a little bit of trouble with the apartment people because my son at the time was like 4, and they were like, what were you doing with your 4th of July? And he goes, we were shooting off fireworks in the parking lot.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
Brandon, come on.
I'm like, come on, dude.
Love so here's my hot dog eating contest story. How many hot dogs and buns?
Are you doing this?
Oh, yeah, I am. You had to know this was going to happen. And if you didn't, that's on you, Reggie. How many hot dogs and buns could you consume in the requisite 10-minute span? Joey Chestnut's world record is 74.
Yeah, not that many.
That's fair.
I'm going to go probably 4. I could do 4.
4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 10 minutes? Like on purpose?
Yeah.
How do you accidentally do that?
That's what I'm just saying. I'm not accidentally trying to. Yeah, like 4.
Reggie?
Yeah.
Maybe like 5, maybe 6.
Okay. That's disappointing.
I know how this goes. I start with the number and you goad me into a higher number and then I'm forced to do this on a video.
I think I could do 10. Do you think you could do 10?
Man, I don't know. Like, I do know a lot, or not a lot. I know enough about, like, kind of the ways that they get this done, right? Like, I've watched enough of these and enough of the vignettes that they do before where you learn, like, kind of the practices and the ways that they go about doing this, and they dip the bun in the water to make it easier to consume.
Yep.
And all that. But I just all right, 10. I'll say that I could do 10.
Whoa.
I'm gonna say that I think that if I was given enough time to, like, you know, try and get my mind ready for it and, like, study up some more on how to most effectively do that, I think I could do 10 hot dogs in the requisite amount of time.
We've got a bunch of submissions, what people are up to this weekend. From the 817, we've got baseball. Oh, wait. You only got about three weeks.
Man.
We're getting closer. From the 682, Spanish La Liga football. That's where... KG, I don't know how much you know about soccer, but that's...
I am a Manchester United fan.
Let's go!
Okay.
Go Red Devils.
Glory,
well,
glory.
Mm-hmm. In La Liga is where they have teams like Leicester City.
Nope.
And
nope.
They have
nope.
Manchester Football Club.
That's not
no,
a
that's
thing.
No, that's not a thing,
man,
Kevin.
If you're a soccer fan, I can't troll the same way that I usually would.
Yeah, you cannot do it. Not on today's show. You
United
cannot.
Front over
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
oh,
clear.
Manchester United front over here.
Mason Greenwood, 18 years old.
Lovely finisher of the football.
From the 972, I haven't heard anybody say anything about spades so far. Like, you mean the card game? Like, just
yes,
playing? Okay.
But this is the tough thing. Like, can we play spades in a pandemic?
All right.
Oh, good
I gotta
question.
Tell you something. And I hope they're not listening right now. I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. About a month or so ago, me and now my wife, we went over to her old house with two of her friends. And we played spades. And I hadn't played spades since, like, high school. But I remember thinking it was awesome. It's a super fun game. And we ended up going 10 rounds. And we were ahead in 6 of the first 9 rounds. And then we lost in the very last round. And then her friends gave us a lecture about strategy for spades and everything
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
that. And
that's what happens with spades, yeah.
Jess knows I was infuriated because I was like, you guys play this all the time. We haven't played it since high school, and up until the last round, we were beating you. I do not need a lecture about how the strategy
I know how to play,
of spades
okay.
work.
Apparently not. You lost.
Okay.
The
well,
last round, though.
Look, man, spades is the game in which when you win, you get to talk the maximum level of you know what.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is the game.
No matter how many games you lost
and,
before that.
And they did, because as soon as they said, do you want a rematch? I said, yes. And then we lost the rematch, and
oh,
I wanted to flip
no.
over the table. And I was like, I swear to God, if I have to hear any more about Spade's strategy, I'm going to freaking lose my mind. From the 210, I'm smoking up a brisket and playing basketball. On this Saturday, ooh, that sounds fun, from the 469, the Austria Grand Prix, to go along with that, super stoked for Formula One, so there you go.
I need to get on my F1 train. I need to figure that out.
Okay.
Well, I mean, watching this NASCAR has been fun, and I know F1 is like another level of racing.
I mean, you
it's,
know.
It's Lewis Hamilton or bust for me. That's about it for me, what I got for me on Formula One.
Well, as long as we're doing fun things, if you guys are really interested in doing motor cars and motorsports, well... This weekend is the Brickyard 400, where I don't know if you've heard or not, but this is sure to make some news, is the car of Corey LaJoy. He is going to be introducing a red, white, and blue themed Mustang for the race, and you might be thinking...
Ah, Independence Day, makes
yeah,
sense, yeah.
Let's, I don't okay. really see what the big deal about that is, except, of course, for on the hood, it will say 2020, Trump 2020.
I was like, just the year?
No, just 20, that's not right. Trump 2020. Now,
is he doing that of his own volition, or does somebody pay him to do that?
That's a good question, because this is what he said, which I was like, that's a fascinating way to spin that. With an estimated, this is from Corey LaJoy, with an estimated 75 million NASCAR fans out there, I was surprised that about only 15 million of those are not registered voters. So he knows that people from the NASCAR nation, they vote a lot. And he would like to help those other 15 register to vote. But he didn't say you should register to vote. He was like, this is what I'm picking out. This is clearly going to get a lot of attention, both good and obviously bad. Does what a NASCAR driver thinks politically on their car make a difference for y'all?
The whole get down with NASCAR is the idea of sponsorship and putting your business or cause or whatever the case may be on your car so that a lot of people can see it. So in that vein, that very idea of having that on his hood will get people to say, hey, I either need to go vote, or this is confirmation of what NASCAR in some respects gets down with, or this is something that Corey LaJoy was like, hey, I get paid. My car is getting, you know, we're getting paid to have this on here, so we're just going to put it on here. I'm just going to go race and go do my thing, and then it'd be over. So
I also have a theory that, like, nothing but apathy would set in if his car said Biden 2020. I just feel like people would be like...
You wouldn't have the same level of reaction. Let's yeah, just say that.
Okay. That's cool.
I'm interested in seeing what the reaction is, not before, but after the race. Like, I want to see how the advertisement or what have you, the endorsement, I don't know what to call it at this point, but having that on the hood of the car, how that looks to a lot of people with however he finishes his race.
Because
I think that
wins.
Those are gonna, people are going to make
oh
some level
gosh.
Correlation, right?
And Go Fast Racing, they tweeted out a picture of the car with Corey LaJoy, and then they actually tagged at POTUS and at Real Donald Trump. So I would be willing to wager, if it hasn't happened already, you'll get some social media love from the president at some point in the next day or two. But I'm going to be, like you said, I'm going to be really fascinated to see how he does, and also interested to see what the fallout from that is, because there'll be something. It's just... So I kind of think I know which way it's going to go, but it can be hard to predict these things. By the way, a bunch of people texted in how many hot dogs they could eat in the 10-minute span. From the 432, 10 hot dogs. From the 903, reasonable. I'm going with 23. Wow.
Oh, wow.
From the
that sounds like somebody who's tried this before.
Yeah. From the 817, I weigh 300 pounds. I could take down 15 to 20 in 10 minutes. The thing is, though, it is not always the heftier competitors that go to the top of this thing. From the 682, at least 10, because one dog per minute is reasonable. And then they added, maybe smoke some weed before you start the challenge.
Look, man, I mean, are there performance-enhancing drugs in competitive eating? Is that a thing?
I don't... Maybe?
Could you imagine?
I wish I knew.
Let me get
this
HGH so I can recover a little bit faster so I can eat some more of these hot dogs. Thanks.
Maybe. From the 214, do they throw it up at all afterwards? I've always wanted to know the answer to that, because I know if you throw up during the competition, it's classically called a reversal of fortune and you're disqualified. From the 817, I'm competing in a hot dog eating contest on Saturday. Shut up. I want to know everything about that. And I can do 20 in 10 minutes. Ooh, all right. That's okay. Fascinating. And then several people are saying they're getting in on some Domino's this weekend, and then a discussion has started about Domino's strategy. So I can play spades for sure. I would be a terrible person to play Domino's with because I know none of the important strategies.
What's the most contentious table game like for like holiday weekends like we're coming up on? Spades? Domino's?
I'm about to say, are we classifying
Uno?
Here?
Okay, that's it. Believe it or not, I was going to say, I think it's Uno.
Uno has because, split family relationships. Okay?
And because I think it's because people operate under different sets of rules. You know,
oh,
like,
man, house rules is one of the most contentious things.
And so that's the thing. Like, if I hit you with the draw two, do you also automatically lose your turn, or are you still allowed to play? I have seen people freak the F out over that. And then also, are you allowed to play the wilder draw four if you put it on a color that you have that color of? I know some people dispute that rule as well.
Or, man, like stacking draw fours
yes.
and draw twos?
Uno gets real.
It's so competitive. Like, there isn't anyone who has the same set of rules for the household. Like, it's kind of ridiculous.
From the 682... Uno is the devil. And so it's a super fun game, but I have seen people get unreasonably angry playing Uno. And one time with my son, I had a lot of fun as he went to use the restroom and I, quote, shuffled the cards. And I just set it up that he had all these nondescript red, green, whatever cards. And I had all wilds and draw fours. And I was like, what should I do? Wild.
So what happened when y'all fought later? Because that's the only recourse.
He was so mad. And he was like, hold on. It took him, because he was still little, it took him like four cards to realize exactly what was going on. Scrabble is fantastic at sucking the joy out of any family.
Monopoly of 406. Ooh, I agree with him there.
Monopoly,
that's a good one.
Monopoly is a game for, like, deviants, right? Like, the whole premise of the game
now,
No, no, no. Whoa. The whole premise of the game is evicting your friends and family members.
Oh, sure. And trying to be the bank
or
so you can be corrupt.
It's applying strategy to be able to acquire as much property as
possible. Oh, okay.
Possible.
I see what's happening. Kevin, you be playing Monopoly, huh?
I do play Monopoly.
I'm keeping an eye on you.
Life in Monopoly can get real. Beer pong rules are ridiculous. Monopoly and Uno. Monopoly and Candyland. Candyland infuriates me because there's no strategy in that game at all. And you always end up losing to a 3-year-old. Yes, that's definitely happened to me.